A warning, the following story has distressing content. Western Australia's current governor, Chris Dawson, has apologised for a massacre of First Nations people perpetrated by the state's first governor almost 200 years ago. In 1834, James Stirling led 25 armed men in the Pinjarra massacre, firing at Pinjarra Noongar men, women and children for an hour. Governor Dawson visited the massacre site and spoke at a memorial service marking 191 years since the killings. Standing on country, he apologised to the Pinjarra Noongar people and the wider Aboriginal community of Western Australia.
I come here today to say sorry for the dreadful wrongs perpetrated by the first Governor of Western Australia, Sir James Stirling, to Pinjarra Noongar people on this budget. The party of 25 armed men, organised and led by Governor Stirling, fired on men, women and children. Governor Stirling reported killing 15 Aboriginal people with the death of one of his party. Other estimates stated a much higher casualty number of the Pinjarra Noongar people were killed.
The federal opposition has questioned the Albanese government's promise to boost domestic manufacturing after Australia's largest aluminium smelter said energy prices may force them to a shutdown. Tomago Aluminium says it cannot find a way to run a commercially sustainable operation beyond 2028, citing energy costs, and begun a four-week process of consultation with staff. Energy Minister Chris Bowen has acknowledged the challenge facing the smelter. He says the company is finding it difficult to secure a sufficient supply of renewable energy, something which should spur on the green energy transition, not halt it.
What they're saying is what we say, that we need more of the cheapest and most reliable energy for our grid. This is an important and difficult period for the Tomago smelter, and we will continue to make sure that nothing is left on the field when it comes to the future of the workers of Tomago. And we believe that industries like aluminium need a supply of energy which is reliable. They need a supply of energy which is cheap, and that's why we are determined to continue the transition that's underway in this country, which those opposite would stop.
The Albanese government has released notes from Mr. Bowen's department showing household power prices are expected to rise this financial year, and Australia's emissions reductions will need to become much more ambitious. The Queensland government has reinstated a ban on puberty-blocking treatment just hours after a landmark court ruling overturned the ban October 28th. The ruling was made after the mother of a transgender teenager had legally challenged the Queensland government's ban. The state's health minister, Tim Nicholls, confirms that he will issue a ministerial direction that will restore the ban in Queensland, just hours after the Supreme Court ruling. Mr. Nicholls says the ministerial direction won't affect people who are already on a treatment plan. Environment Minister Murray Watt has asked the Bureau of Meteorology to consider changing its new website after it's been accused of putting lives at risk. The Queensland government has written to the Commonwealth to request intervention in the Bureau's website, saying the website's appearance may have made it challenging for Queenslanders to access information about the severe storm this week. The state's treasurer says the clean-up from the storm triggered fears of what he calls an insurance catastrophe. The storm season has started in Queensland this week after wild weather hit the state, leaving over 5,000 Queenslanders without power on Tuesday morning. Billionaire Bill Gates has called on world leaders attending the upcoming COP30 climate talks in Brazil to switch the focus from emission reduction targets to improving health outcomes and adaptation to extreme weather. The Microsoft co-founder spends most of his time now on the goals of the Gates Foundation, which has poured tens of billions of dollars into healthcare, education, and development initiatives worldwide, including combating HIV, AIDS, tuberculosis, and malaria. In a 17-page memo, he urges world leaders to reflect on whether the little money designated for climate is being spent on the right things. He's told CNBC the emphasis should be on preventing disease and poverty.
Climate is a super important problem. There's enough innovation here to avoid super bad outcomes. We won't achieve our best goal, the 1.5 or even the 2 degrees. And as we go about trying to minimize that, we have to frame it in terms of overall human welfare, not just everything should be solely for climate.
COP30 is to be held next month from November 10th to the 21st in the port city of Belém in Brazil's lower Amazon region. United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres says past UN climate summits have failed to keep the world on track to staying under the 1.5 degree Celsius of global warming above pre-industrial levels. He's told The Guardian and Amazon-based news group Suma Uma that actions must be focused on minimizing the impacts of exceeding the 1.5 degree goal.
Countries are presenting their nationally determined contributions. From those received until now, there is an expectation of a reduction of emissions of 10%. We would need 60%. So overshooting is now inevitable. And so it is absolutely indispensable to change course in order to make sure that that overshooting is as small as possible. And this is a basic condition to avoid tipping points. We don't want to see the Amazon as a savanna.
Victoria's correction minister has defended the reopening of a troubled youth justice centre, saying the state's government is putting community safety first. The Malmesbury Youth Justice Centre, once plagued by staff assaults, riots and escapes, is set to open again 2 years after it was closed. The facility in central Victoria originally closed due to a decline in number of young people in custody and the opening of new purpose-built facilities. Corrections Minister Enver Endogan says the facility will reopen to house young people held under the state's new bail laws.
Today's announcement is about putting victims first. It's about making sure that when someone causes significant harm, that there's a custodial facility for them. So that's a message for everyone in our justice system. Law enforcement, the courts, my own youth justice system. The signal is clear when making those assessments to put community safety first.
New South Wales government has announced a $50,000 funding boost to support First Nations athletes in netball. The funding for Netball New South Wales will go towards talent identification and high performance pathways for Indigenous athletes aged 11 years and older. The organisation's Executive General Manager of Community, Tim Favour, says the plan is also to establish regional netball talent hubs to remove barriers to participation like travel and cost. Initiatives like Koori Gala Days and additions to Koori Netball Tournament will also get a boost with the funding. And with more sports, former Geelong president Craig Drummond has been endorsed to join the AFL Commission, paving the way to replace the departing Richard Goyder as the AFL's next chairman. Drummond, who served as the president of the Cats from 2021 to 2024, has won the commission's unanimous vote to become the next member. To win the top job, Drummond will have to be elected by the 18 clubs once he joins the commission. Goyder, who's been the chairman for the AFL since 2017, is set to depart in March next year. And now for a look at today in the weather. Cairns is cloudy at 32. Brisbane is raining at 25. Sydney is raining at 19. Newcastle is also raining at 19. Canberra is seeing rain at 16. Albury-Wodonga is seeing clouds at 22. Melbourne is also cloudy at 19. Hobart is cloudy at 18. And Adelaide is sunny at 22. Perth is seeing rain at 21. Broome is sunny at 33. Darwin is also seeing rain at 34. And Alice Springs is sunny at 32. And that wraps up all the latest in the news, sport and weather. You're listening to NITV Radio.